السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الطاعم الشاكر كالصائم الصابر. وقال: إنما الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening, these beautiful verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. The entire Quran Sharif is a book of guidance, a book of hidayat. It is a manual by means of which a person can get hidayat from now till the day of Qiyamah. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who really gives hidayat. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decide for a person to get hidayat, then he can be with the Quran Sharif all the time. He can be sitting at the feet of the greatest wali of Allah, but he will still be deprived of hidayat. There are many, many examples of this in history. Amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, if we take for example Nuh ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, such a great Nabi of Allah, but his very own son was deprived of hidayat to such an extent that at the last few moments when the flood waters were coming, the father then called out to the son that, just come with me now. Ya bunayya irkab ma'ana. That, oh my son, come with us, join us, accept our deen. He said, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ يَعْسِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I'll go to one mountain top, that peak of the mountain will save me from this water. وَحَالَ بَيْنَ قَالَ لَا عَاسِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He said, today there's no one that can be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And suddenly, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. One huge wave came and separated the two of them. He was drowned. There and then he was drowned. So yet he was the son of the Nabi of Allah. He grew up in front of this Nabi of Allah, but hidayat was not muqaddar for him. Take the example of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. His father refused to accept. He said, I will stone you if you speak to me about these things and you say anything bad about the gods and the idols. He too was deprived of hidayat. His father, his son then said to the father, Salam alayhi, peace be upon you. I will not say anything further, and he went his way. Then we take our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You take his uncle Abu Talib, such a pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a pillar of support that, of course, we know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born without a father, in the sense that his father had already passed away prior to the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shortly thereafter, mother had passed away. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sort of grew up without any parental supervision. Ulama-i Kiram state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the valuable lesson and the important lesson that you are going to be brought up by Allah alone. There's no one else that needs to see to you. Allah will bring you up. Normally, a person is brought up, and we notice it in the madrasa situation, that if you have one parent that is missing from the whole equation in bringing up the child, then you find that the child lacks some kind of nurturing. the father is not there, or the father is regularly overseas, then you find that that particular child grows up, now the mother cannot control him, especially with the boys, then you find that there's some deficiency here and there. And on the other hand, if the mother is not there, then you find that the child is always, you know, we have one particular student in the madrasa who now for the past 8 years, mother and father went through a divorce. He hasn't even seen his mother. So now imagine, and we always notice that child is suddenly becomes very quiet, goes into his own world. So now the child grows up, it's not a normal child. There's certain weaknesses that the child has. So normally when a child grows up without some parent, whether it's the father, whether it's the mother, there's some weakness and deficiency. Here we find Rasulullah has both parents gone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him up to become a perfect human being. And thereafter, his grandfather then brought him up. He just became a little attached to his grandfather, and then to his grandfather passed away. Finally, Abu Talib then took the role of a fatherly figure, brought up Rasulullah s.a.w., taught him how to trade, sent him for trade missions to Syria, to such an extent that he even got Rasulullah s.a.w. married, and he even paid the mehr on behalf of Rasulullah s.a.w. Imagine what a khidmat that was. And then when the mushrikeen and the disbelievers and the idol worshippers of Makkah Sharif, they threatened Rasulullah s.a.w., Abu Talib was the one who stood up and said, no, you don't touch my nephew. Let him go on and preach his deen. They even boycotted the Banu Hashim, and Abu Talib went through that entire boycott of 3 years, three solid years, to such an extent that it was said that they had to even chew leather to survive. They used to take leaves of trees to survive. And the effect of their boycott was such that it had a tremendous or an adverse effect on the health of Abu Talib. And as a result, he became ill until eventually he passed away. And at the moment when he was passing away, Nabi Kareem Sassam went to him and said, oh my uncle, you just recite this kalima, that's all. You just recite this kalima, because what had happened prior to that, the mushrikeen had come to Rasulullah Sassam and there was something. So he said that I will only speak to you if you will accept one Allah. So they said, no, we're not prepared to accept that. And they walked away. So Abu Talib said, well, I don't think you're asking them anything major. There was nothing major that you asked them. They should have accepted you. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought, this is the ideal opportunity since he said that. So he said, oh my uncle, then why don't you recite the kalima? You just recite the kalima and I will do the rest. I will do the rest. At those last few moments, he said, لَخْتَرْتُ النَّارَ عَلَى الْعَارِ. I don't want people to feel that I have abandoned the way of my forefathers. So never mind, even if I go to the fire of hell, but I don't want people to say that about me. And he passed away in that condition. Nabi Kareem Sassam was so, that entire year became known. And Nabi Sassam said, called it Abul Huzn, the year of grief. Now if we study the life of Rasulullah Sassam, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to read the seerah of Nabi Kareem Sassam. It's very, very inspirational. And any person who's going through any gham and any pain and any worry and any sorrow and any difficulty and stress and depression, one person came to Hazrat Muhammad Rahmatullahi. He had gone through some difficulty in his life. He went through some divorce and there were some other issues and the business didn't work out and he was single and he was staying all on his own and family was very, very far away. He started going into depression. They took him to doctor, they took him here, there. I recall, alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune, we were sitting in the office, in the madrasa it was, few brothers were there. So Hazrat told him, and Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi had a beautiful frame on the right hand side of the green dome. The brothers have been to the office, so know exactly what I'm talking about. Beautiful green dome, zoomed in picture of the green dome. So he told him, what you do, get yourself one frame like this of the green dome. You just keep it there. That every time you're feeling depression, go and stand in front of this green dome. This is not some type of shariat. This was like a prescription that Hazrat was giving him. He said, you just stand in front of that green dome and just ponder that the one resting beneath this green dome, what kind of trial, what kind of tribulation, what type of pain he went through. Inshallah, when you will ponder over that, you'll think to yourself, by what I'm going through, this kuch bhi nahi hai. This is nothing in comparison to that. My Nabi Kareem Sassam went through. Now imagine all that, growing up without a father, growing up without a mother, and then looking at the condition of the people around him, burying their daughters alive. People were, you know, usurping the prophet's properties of the orphans, of the widows, of the needy. There was war taking place over trivial issues. If one camel went and grazed in the pasture of the next person, a fight started out, and that fight would continue and break out into a war. Mm-hmm. There was one famous war that lasted for approximately 120 years. Mm. It started off when one camel grazed in the pasture of another, and it became a feud. And the grandparents would actually make wasiyat to their grandchildren that you make sure you continue this fight. This fight must carry on. And it would continue for 120 years they were fighting. And there were certain wars that were taking place that if you ask them, why are you fighting? We don't know why you're fighting. But we just know that these people are our enemies and we have to carry on fighting them. What level of ignorance there was. Absolute ignorance. Burying the daughters alive, usurping the properties. Abu Jahl was famous for this. Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran Sharif, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. Referring to Abu Jahl, that he was that person. What he would do was, when a person now was very, very critically ill, so he would go to him, a very eloquent tongue he had. So he would say that, you see now, you know, things are around here. You know, you can't trust anyone nowadays. You know, and now you got your children, you got your wife here, you got property, you got all this livestock and everything. If you're going to leave the world like this here, these people will usurp it, your poor children, everything, and get left. You know, so what you do, I'm willing to help you. You just hand it over all to me. I'll sort out everything. You know, I'll see to their needs and everything. And he was so eloquent, you know, he had the gift of the gab. You could convince the person. Some people are so talented that they can even sell ice, you know, on a freezing cold day, you know. So he had the talent. So what would happen? The person would agree. And no sooner the person passed away, Abu Jahl would actually shun those orphans away. Completely shun them. They would be roaming the streets. Rasulullah was the one who would then go and see to the orphans. That is why in the cave of Hira, when Jibreel Islam came to him, when Nabi Kareem Sassam returned to Ma Khadija radiallahu anha, he said, I'm going to be destroyed. She said, Kalla wallahi. Never. By the qasam of Allah, you will never be destroyed. You are that person who works for the sake of the widows and the orphans in the streets. That was Rasulullah. So he couldn't take it. That was another pain that really, it sort of ate him up from inside to such an extent that he would just go into the mountains to get some kind of seclusion, looking at the condition of the people there. That was the difficulty he went through. And then of course, once the ayat of the Quran Sharif came to him, and once his nubuwat was made known to him, and now he had the mission, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir, now stand up and warn the people. Now, what a great responsibility came on his shoulders. The first individual that he approached were his near and dear ones, his own family. So he called them. He said, listen, if I have to tell you that there is an army about to attack you from behind, would you believe me? They said, definitely. You are Sadiq, you are Al-Amin. You have never ever spoken a lie. You are absolutely trustworthy. Such was the trustworthy nature of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was well known. People would actually keep all their valuables with him. And people knew that when he made a promise, he never ever broke it. There's a famous incident where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made agreed to meet a certain person with regards to some business transaction. They were supposed to meet at a certain venue. Nabi Kareem Sassam waited 3 days. That person forgot. 3 days he waited until accidentally the person passed by and he saw Nabi Kareem Sassam stand. 3 days he waited. He said, well, I made a promise, I'm going to be here. He stayed. This is the level of trust with the nature and the level of trust that was found in the life of Rasulullah. They said, if I have to tell you, they said, definitely. We believe you. If you tell us that the army about to attack us from behind this mountain, we'll believe you. Never spoken a lie. And then he called them. He said, listen to me. I am calling you to the worship of one Allah. Leave these idols aside. Worship one Allah. You will get Jannah. You will get paradise. And he went and elucidated his very own family, those who he had so much of hope in, those who were so close to him. Abu Lahab, his uncle. تبا لك. لهذا جمعتنا. May you be destroyed. Is this what you call us here for? Cursed Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم immediately there and then. That very family upon which Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم had so much of hope, they turned against him. Can we imagine the pain that he went through there? And then thereafter, now, once the mission of Islam started, and once people started accepting Islam, they had to do it secretly. Those very people who accepted Islam, they started facing great amounts of torture, difficulty. Some of them were even killed. Now, can you imagine that pain? That the people accepted my religion, and because of them coming close to me, they had to go through this difficulty. That was another pain that Rasulullah SAW went through. Takleef upon takleef. Makkah Sharif, that those 13 years in Makkah Sharif after the Nubuwwat of Nabi Kareem SAW was nothing but trial and tribulation and pain, to such an extent that Nabi Kareem SAW, so to say, sort of gave up hope in the people of Makkah Sharif. So he thought to himself, okay, let me go somewhere else. Let me go somewhere else and invite those people. Perhaps someone else will accept my deen. Very few people had accepted. So he sets out to Taif. Now again, hope, you know, expectation. He travels and walks kilometers and kilometers in the heat, and finally he reaches Taif, and we know the incident, until he is raised, chased away from there. And there to look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he says, no, do not destroy these people. Perhaps someone from their progeny will accept Islam. And that dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes there, if we study that dua, we can perceive and we can understand the level of pain that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He turns to Allah and says, Ya Allah, if it is something that I have done wrong, that this is happening to me, then Ya Allah, I'm asking you to forgive me, help me. So from there you can gauge the kind of pain that Nabi Kareem Sasam was going through. And then all of that, and then the year of the boycott. Now what I'm trying to show you is that all that difficulty, but for Nabi Kareem Sasam to call this year the year of grief, we can understand what it means. And that was the year that Abu Talib passed away. And not only did Abu Talib pass away, but his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, the effects of that boycott was severe on her health too. And she passed away. So Nabi Kareem Sasam lost his pillar of support in Abu Talib, and of course, his pillar of comfort and support. And that woman, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, later she used to become a little bit envious. What are you talking about, an old lady? She was old, you know. We are here, we're young. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, when there was no one there to stand for me, and then there was no one to support me, she was always there. She spent her wealth to support Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he never ever forgot her ihsan upon him. So that year was the year of huzn, amul huzn, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through, the grief, that sorrow. And therefore, if we study the life of Rasulullah SAW and we look at the difficulties that he went through over and over again, from that, if we look at our own lives, we will actually realize that what we're going through is absolutely nothing. So nevertheless, in these ayat of the Quran Sharif, beautiful ayat of the Quran Sharif, so the point we were making is that hidayat was not even in the hands of Rasulullah SAW. That not even Nabi Kareem SAW could give us hidayat, you know, to... We always mention to the students in the madrasa that how we wish we had, you know, a little injection or a tablet. That any student that comes in the madrasa, you just give them one tablet of tolerance and one tablet of ikhlas and one tablet of, you know, generosity and one tablet of responsibility and finish. They just take the tablet and there's a transformation. So no ustad has got a magic wand. No Nabi had the magic wand. Hidayat is solely and only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the effort has to be made in the right direction. A person has to adopt the means, and after adopting the means, then inshallah we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can never ever rely on the means. So, hidayat is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Quran Sharif is a book of hidayat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whomsoever He wishes to give hidayat, He gives hidayat through this Quran Sharif. Sometimes Allah ta'ala can give hidayat through sources one will never ever imagine. One person came to Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He said, a youngster, he said he went to the Reef Club. Now the music was blasting and things were happening and everyone was raving. And suddenly from the music, he's hearing, Fear Allah. He said he got a shock of his life. Now he's listening again. And again he hears that voice coming from the music. Fear Allah. He says he started shaking. He started actually trembling. Immediately he walked out of the rave club. Friends and everything, what's happening? He just walked out. He came. It was Mawlisab Ramtulari, very, very hysterical, crying. So Hazrat told him that Allah Ta'ala gave you hidayat through the tongue of shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala, when he wants to give hidayat, Allah Ta'ala can even use shaitan to give a person hidayat. Allah Ta'ala can even use shaitan to give a person hidayat. إن الله تعالى لا يؤيد هذا الدين بالرجل الفاجر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said Allah Ta'ala can assist this deen with a individual who is sinful, who is not even a believer. And we see it in the likes of Abu Talib, for example. What great khidmat he made for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What support and what encouragement he gave to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. But he didn't get iman. So Allah Ta'ala can use anyone. That's why sometimes if we make some khidmat of deen, we should never feel that that is now a certificate of qubuliyat in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we should always be fearful that it must not be that Allah Ta'ala is using me despite all my sins, Allah is using me, but I have to worry about myself. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why we must make dua that, oh Allah, not only use me for the khidmat of deen, but oh Allah, accept me for the khidmat of deen. When a person gets accepted, then it means that Allah Ta'ala is accepting his a'mal. Only Allah Ta'ala will only accept the a'mal of a believer. Allah Ta'ala will never accept the a'mal of a disbeliever. The disbeliever, if he does some good deed, then what Allah Ta'ala does is Allah Ta'ala rewards him in this world already. Allah Ta'ala will give that person wealth, Allah Ta'ala will give that person name and fame. Everything will be given to him in this world finished. And in akhirat, nothing. But for the believer, when Allah accepts it, then Allah Ta'ala is accepting in the hereafter. So we say, Ya Allah, accept us for the khidmat of your deen. Not only use us, but rather accept us. Because Allah can use a disbeliever also. So in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That most definitely, most certainly we will be testing you. And Allah Ta'ala elucidates in various aspects. A person will be tested in his wealth, he will be tested in his health, he will be tested in his time. Allah Ta'ala will sometimes take away something which is beloved to a person. Allah Ta'ala will cause some kind of difficulty in one's life. But then Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those individuals who exercise patience. Now what is the sabr? The sabr means that when that difficulty comes upon a person, then at that moment, the person feels the pain, but the person doesn't utter any statement that is a complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Mawlisab Rahmatullahi, very often, when he would be ill, when he would be going through some pain, so sometimes people would ask him, Hazrat, how are you keeping? So he says that, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl, but just to inform you, not complaint against Allah Ta'ala, but just to inform you that I'm experiencing some chest pains. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has been very kind to me. Just to, since you're asking, the person goes to the doctor. So now the doctor says, what are your symptoms? So now the person says, no, everything's okay. Alhamdulillah. But I met one doctor 2 days ago. So he mentioned to me, mashallah, an elderly doctor in his 70s. So he mentioned to me, he said that the Muslim patients are ajeeb. So I told him, why? So he says, you ask them, they're going through so much of pain, you ask them, how are you keeping? He said, Alhamdulillah. Mashallah, it's a good thing. But now imagine if the person had to go to the doctor asked him, what's wrong with you? No, Alhamdulillah. Why you came? No, Alhamdulillah. So he's not saying anything. Somebody, the doctor said, why you came? No, I just came here. He's not prepared to say anything. Somebody said, why are you not informing? You're not telling the doctor? He said, I don't want to complain. If I tell the doctor I'm feeling sick, maybe I'm complaining. So now that's not a complaint. The person has to inform the doctor that, listen, I'm experiencing some pain here or some pain there or chest pain or this pain. So you're not complaining, you're informing the individual so that something could take place. So here, a person informs someone, Hazrat Rahmatullahi would inform the individual so that they could make dua for him. They could make dua for him. But what is the complaint? Why is this happening? only happens to me. Everything, nobody else gets. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by one woman who had lost her child, and she was complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the statements that people say, as the Tanbir Rahmatullah had mentioned it in Beshti Zewar, it happens, many women would say this. They would say, couldn't Allah ta'ala find somebody else's child to take away? Couldn't Allah ta'ala find someone else? Only my child? So in that emotional state of this, so that woman, she was making these kind of complaints. She was a Sahabiya. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised her. So she immediately called up, you don't know what I'm going through. But she didn't realize. When she turned around, she saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, no, I make sabr now. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. Innama sabru inda sadmati al-ula. Sabr was at that point when you're going through that pain. Now, afterwards, now is not the time to make sabr. At that point when the person is going through that pain, then that is the time to make sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us.
Amen.
Beautiful example of Luqman is mentioned by Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi. Luqman al-Hakim, some mufassirin say that he was a Nabi, others say he was a very wise person. But nevertheless, he is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. One entire surah is named after Luqman alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ لِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. So Luqman was a very wise individual, and he was a slave for a period of time. His master loved him very dearly. Of course, the qualities that he had, being a wise individual, what wonderful qualities he had. So one day, the slave had the master had the habit that whenever he bought any fruit, so he would send it to Luqman first. His love for him was such. So he would send the fruit to Luqman, and then the leftover he would eat afterwards. That's the kind of respect he had for the slave. So one day he bought a melon, sweet melon, whatever it may have been, and it was extremely bitter. So when he sent it to Luqman, he ate it and he carried on eating it, and normally he would leave, just take one or two pieces, but yeah, he carried on. So the master looked at Luqman and said, are you not going to leave a piece for me? So he stopped. When the master took this melon, and as soon as his tongue just touched the melon, the bitterness was so intense. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi explained it. It was so intense that the master actually fell down unconscious. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi sometimes would dramatize certain things to try and explain that, derive a lesson from it. So he fell down unconscious. When he regained his consciousness, he said, oh Rahman, you ate the melon as if you, like you were enjoying it with such enjoyment. And how did you manage to take the bitterness? He said, I thought to myself that for so many days and weeks and months and years, my master has been giving me sweet fruit. Okay, one day when the master gave me bitter fruit, how could I show my dissatisfaction when my master has been so kind to me? Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi says in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been our Malik Haqiqi, our Khaliq, our Razik, that Allah who is showering favors upon favors upon favors upon favors every second and every moment. Some little bit of pain and difficulty, some little bit of sickness, and we forget about all the goodness that we have been blessed with. This is a very bad quality. It is actually a quality which can cause a person to be counted as the ungrateful ones. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, and he mentioned to the Sahabiyat, the woman, he said that the night of Mi'raj, when I bypassed Jahannam, I saw that the majority of the inmates of Jahannam were women folk. Now immediately they were concerned. They say, Ya Rasulullah, why is that? He said, because of two qualities. Tukthirna al-la'n. The two qualities that are prevalent in the woman generally is that you excessively tend to curse. The children do something, they upset you, and in that emotional state you start hurling curses at the children and at others. And the second quality is that your husband does so much of goodness to you. And one day he did something which was upsetting to you, and you forget all the good that he did for you for years and years. Because of this quality of ungratefulness, you unfortunately are finding yourself in the fire of Jahannam. In other words, whether it's the women folk, whether it's the men folk, the quality of being ungrateful is highly detested in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of shukr. So Nabi Allah ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the sabiri. Every other good deed that a person does, he will get a reward, but that reward would be confined. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَوْ عَشْرَ أَمْثَالِهَا. A person does one good deed, multiply 10 times, 100 times sometimes, 70 times. Person performs salawat jamaat, multiply 27 times. So we find there's a certain factor, but it's confined. But when it comes to sabr, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that those who make sabr, Allah Ta'ala gives them reward without any hisab kitab. Nothing. No hisab kitab. Allah Ta'ala just dishes out the reward like a person cannot even imagine. So sabr is a very great thing. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the sabirin. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, when some difficulty comes upon them, they say, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To such an extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if the light in the home became extinguished, they used to have the little, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So sometimes even if a cup falls in the house, so you know something happens which is a little bit of the pen is in your hand and it falls on the floor, then to make amal on the sunnah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's some musibah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a mu'min will be rewarded even if a thorn pricks him, he'll get tawab for that. Because he went through some pain, Allah Ta'ala will even reward him for that. So every taklif that a person is going through, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا, Allah Ta'ala says, what does Allah promise for them? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala's special blessings are upon these people, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is focused on these individuals. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, and these are the ones who are rightly guided. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beautiful quality of sabr. Of course, we must never ever make dua for sabr. Don't make dua for sabr, because then we are effectively asking for difficulty. We must always salullah al-afiyah, always ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyah. This is something we should always ask from Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyah. But we have to understand that this dunya is a place of difficulty. That has to come. Always ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyah. But if difficulty comes, make sabr. So always ask Allah Ta'ala. One person came to Haji Imdadla Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi. Said, Hazrat, this person is very, very ill, very, very sick. So he told him that sickness also is a rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sickness is a rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person said, so make dua. So he said, I make dua that, oh Allah, change this rahmat of sickness into the rahmat of good health. Change the rahmat of sickness into the rahmat of good health. So the person has two routes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isi tarah se mumkin, teri raah se guzarna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna, kabhi dil se shukr karna. There's only two routes that a person can go in South Africa. As Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah used to term it as the garden route and the Karoo route. So the person goes to Cape Town, he can go through the Karoo, which is very, very dry and, you know, it's tiring and it's hot. And the garden route, beautiful scenery and the ocean on the one side, and beautiful landscape. But the manzil and maqsood is the same. The objective and the destination is the same. That the person is going to one particular place. So we are all going towards akhirat, we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes Allah ta'ala takes a person through some difficulty, Allah ta'ala takes a person through some poverty, Allah ta'ala takes a person through some pain, Allah ta'ala tests the person in his business, tests the person in his children, tests the person in his wealth. These are all tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a whole separate topic, that when is it a test and when is it a rahmat also. That sometimes a person, when some difficulty comes in the person's life, then how do you know whether it is a adab or whether it is a rahmat? Sometimes some difficulty comes, it's actually an adab. And sometimes the difficulty is a rahmat. So one easy way of identifying it is this, is that if that test causes the person to turn to Allah Ta'ala, it is a rahmat. And if that test causes the person to turn away from Allah Ta'ala, then it is an adab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, inshallah, in just a few minutes. We will make some zikrullah and then tell me. Mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, La ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijabun dun Allah, that between this kalima of La ilaha illallah, there is no barrier, and it goes directly to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when you're reciting this kalima, we should imagine it goes directly to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from there, the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to our hearts. We know that when we commit sins and guna, then the heart becomes darkened and becomes eventually sealed. The dhikr of Allah has got the potential to actually purify and unlock that sealed heart. So if you make the dhikr, inshallah, with focus and with concentration, then inshallah, it has the potential to unlock our hearts and to purify our hearts. This is Abdul Sharif. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time imagine that we have a tongue in the heart, tongue in the mouth, both are simultaneously taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that everything around us, the ground beneath our feet, every single grain of sand on earth, every single leaf of every single tree, all taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's wajib to say Jalla Jalaluhu on the first one. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa ta'ala
Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah,
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. يا الله جتنا بڑا تیرا نام ہے, يا الله اتنی بڑی ہماری مغفرت کر دی. يا الله, oh Allah is your great, as your name is, يا الله grant us such great مغفرت and forgiveness. يا الله, oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you. يا الله, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. يا الله, Ya Allah, you have favored us with bounties upon bounties upon bounties, Ya Allah, from the time we came into this world, Ya Allah. And even before that, Ya Allah, you have shown kindness and mercy to us, Ya Allah. Our very existence, Ya Allah, is only through your fazl and your karam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you blessed us with Iman, Ya Allah. You made us from the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you granted us eyes, ears, heart, liver, lungs, all functioning, Ya Allah. You have granted us food, Ya Allah, shelter above our heads, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our hands are functioning, Ya Allah. There are so many people, Ya Allah, who don't have hands, Ya Allah. We have seen so many blind individuals, so many who are deaf, Ya Allah. So many, Ya Allah, who are crippled, cannot walk, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but not once, Ya Allah, did we ever express our appreciation for these bounties, Ya Allah. A little difficulty comes upon us, Ya Allah, and we become bare sabr, we become impatient and intolerant, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, make us of the shakirin, Ya Allah. Make us of those who are grateful, Ya Allah. You have said in the Quran Sharif, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ. There are very few of my bandas who make shukr, Ya Allah. Make us of those few, Ya Allah, who make shukr for every single bounty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us of the shakirin, of those who are grateful, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq to use every bounty, Ya Allah, in your obedience, Ya Allah. Allah, let us not be amongst those who use these very bounties, these priceless bounties, Ya Allah, for your disobedience, Ya Allah, for sins, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins, minor sins. If we have used any faculty of ours for your disobedience, Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us, Ya Allah. It is not difficult for you, Ya Allah. Nothing is difficult for you, Ya Allah. Even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah, more than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah, just one drop, Ya Allah, from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, how much of difficulty he went through, Ya Allah. Takleef upon takleef, Ya Allah. Pain upon pain, Ya Allah. 13 solid years in Makkah Sharif, nothing but trial and tribulation. How much of sabr my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Ya Allah, witnessing his dear beloved ones, Ya Allah, being murdered, being massacred, Ya Allah. In Medina Sharif, Ya Allah, poverty, difficulty, pain, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much of fikr. It is because of all those sacrifices, Ya Allah, that today, Ya Allah, we have been blessed, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad alfa alfa barra. Ya Allah, our Sahaba ikram, Ya Allah, all those who have shown kindness and generosity to us in any way whatsoever, Ya Allah, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. Those who have passed away, Ya Allah, fill their graves with dur, Ya Allah. One day we have to leave this world, Ya Allah. The time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, wherever it is, Ya Allah, let it be a Mubarak death, Ya Allah. Death with Iman, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, alleviate the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, everywhere the Ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Palestine, they were suffering and still are suffering, Ya Allah. Syria, they were suffering and still are suffering, Ya Allah. Now in Burma, Ya Allah, Muslims are being massacred, Ya Allah. They are being killed and destroyed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we know this is a test from you, Ya Allah. But O Allah, have mercy upon the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not look at our sins, Ya Allah. Look at those precious tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of his Ummah, Ya Allah. Restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those zalim and oppressors, Ya Allah, give them hidayat. Lekin, Ya Allah, agar hidayat muqaddar nahi hai, Ya Allah. To unko barbaad kar de, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, unko ruswa kar de, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, unko halak kar de, Ya Allah. Destroy them like how you destroyed Aad and Thamud, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, it is not difficult for you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires, the aspirations, the needs, Ya Allah. Each and everyone who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires, the aspirations, the needs, Ya Allah. Whatever pain, the grief, sickness, suffering, financial constraints they are going through, you are well aware, Ya Allah. You alleviate the suffering, remove the difficulty. بِفَضْلِكَ وَجُودِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ يَا أَكْرَمَ الْأَكْرَمِينَ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Next week, Demet. Inshallah, next week Monday the program inshallah will be in Demet. Inshallah will also be the same day. May God Allah Ta'ala makes it a means of our own hidayat first, inshallah.